Okay, we had gotten up to yesterday the question of the machlokas between Rava and Reb Yossi and how exactly we could square their opinions. And we ended up saying that there are nafkaminas in terms of the chazaka, whether we have two chazakas, whether we have one chazaka. And we got up to the machlokas ultimately in whether tchumim are derabbanan or tchumim are deoraisa. And we had each one holding like their Rebbe's. Rebbe Meir was quoting Rebbe Yishmael, whereas he himself felt like Rebbe Akiva was his later Rebbe, who said that Tchumim Adiraisa. And Rebbe Yossi was quoting his Rebbe, whereas later, actually, we find out he was just quoting Avtumus Mishum Chamisha Zekenim, and that's why he was being made. Okay, we got up to Tanya. So the Tanya is about a quarter of the way down. So Tanya, Ketzad Om Reb Yossi Sofik Eruv Kasha. So now we had our machlokas, our ikar machlokas, is the question of whether you aren't sure whether the Eruv was kosher at the time that you set it down. Or there was some other Sofik, we're going to see precisely what Sofik we can accept as being kosher. And you had something that might have been roy for achila, something that wasn't roy l'achila. Now today the Gemara is going to examine, again, through the lens of Eruv, it's going to examine two basic kind of questions, which revolve in the end, it turns out that we're going to learn out some very important dinim about the Eruv itself. Remember, we raised earlier the question of when precisely do we say during Ben Hashmashot that the Eruv is chal Ben Hashmashot? Is that at the beginning, which is the sof of the previous yom, it's the sof of Erev Shabbos, or is that at the end, at the last minutes, as it now fades into the Tzeis HaKochavim, where we know vada that it's Shabbos? That's called Tchilas HaYom. So is it sof HaYom Kona, Tchilas HaYom Kona, which means we need to determine at what particular point we are going to actually define that Erev. That's important in an Erev in per se. But through the lens of Erevim, we are going to take a look at Dinim of Chazaka, which we already started yesterday, and we're going to take a look at a broader question, which is the question of Breira. And the Breira issue is something that we have looked at through many, many different sugyas, and today we'll have an opportunity to look through it again in terms of Eruv, which is one of the most fundamental questions of Breira. And that is, if you really don't know yet what it is that you need on Shabbos, you're going to find out only afterwards where you need to go. Can you make an Erev on Erev Shabbos that would only turn out to be defined by a decision or an event that occurs later? So can I now apply a later Birur, something which turns out, to something that was in the past and be able to make it retroactive in time? And you will recall, this is a major machlokas. And the way Rashi understands the question, it's really a fundamental question of physical determinism, because Rashi explains that if you don't hold of Breira, what you're saying is that anything could happen. And therefore, there is nothing in the current state of the universe that is in any way mechayev, the X that happens in the end. Maybe right now, Y would happen. So, in other words, according to Rashi, you always have, and if you hold Ein Breira, a superposition of states, and only when the actual event happens, you say, okay, at that point, we have a world with this event in it. But how would that possibly allow you to say that this was the case earlier? Mashenkin, if you hold Yesh Breira, you have a right to look at the world in such a way that it's basically deterministic, and that if this is what ends up happening, then that means that this is what was meant to happen earlier. So it turns out that there's really very deep implications of the issue of Breira. And Erev is one of the most important Mishnayos that deals with the question of Breira overall. Okay, so let's get into the questions of today's issues. So remember, Reb Yossi had said a Sofik Erev is kosher. Rabbi Meir said it's not kosher. What do I mean? So what he actually presents is very, very strange, because it seems to be a contradiction. So when we say, Reb Yossi said Sofik Erev is kosher, okay, I'll give you two cases. You used Truma, okay? It turned out that this Truma became Tomei. Now, I don't know when it became Tomei. Maybe Miba'od Yom Nitmeit, maybe Mishachashecha Nitmeit. That's case A. Case B is I have Peirot. Now, I'm not sure whether these peirot became kosher afterwards, meaning that this was tevel, and now we made it kosher by taking off trumas and maasers. But I'm not sure when that took place. Did it take place before making the erev or after making the erev? That's also suffik erev kosher, which doesn't really make sense because it's a contradiction. I mean, case number one is a case where I start off with truma, that's fine, and then it became tamei. So over there I had a chazaka that it is good. And case number two seems to be saying that we're starting off with something that's not good, and my question is whether it became good in time for the erev. Whoops, that's exactly, based on yesterday's discussion, that's exactly the opposite cases. In one of them, we have a chazaka that it is good, and in the other one, we have a chazaka that it's not good. And Gemara, of course, is going to ask, what? But anyway, but this is the norm, remember, that when somebody presents something in a price, it's there in order to make you say, what? And then you have to figure out what is really going on. Okay, so we have those cases. That would be the suffik erev kosher case, but let's say, if you started off with something that never had a chazak, because you have a truma, you don't know whether it's Torah, you don't know whether it's Tameh. Or you have peirot, you don't know if they're tevel, or you don't know if they're chulin. That's not a suffik erev kosher. Excuse me, says the Gemara, I understand. The case of the truma, where you start off with truma tahora, I'm assuming that's because you're saying, okay, we have a chazaka, hamei truma chazkaso, and assume that it was Torah at the time of the asiyas erev. But you should say exactly the same thing with the peiros. And you should also say, before you made the erev, it was definitely not kosher. Now, what do you want to say? That it was nitkan. You have a chazaka that it wasn't nitkan. Say, ima lo nitkanu. But therefore, the Mishnah, as the Braita, as stated, the way it's explaining Rabbi Yossi, makes absolutely no sense. Says the Gemara, correct. Obviously, we're going to have to say the Braita a little bit differently. Not suffik mi ba'od yom nitkanu, ela suffik mi ba'od yom nidme'u, the lotion of nidma, remember, dimua. Generally, the meaning of dimua is that chulin, truma, falls into chulin and makes the whole thing dimua. So, in other words, what we're talking about over here is that initially, this was perfectly kosher, and everything had been taken out of it. It was chulin, it would have been fine for the Arab. And we know that at some point, truma fell into it. And then we're not sure, did the truma fall into it and make it no good for an Erev before the Erev was chal or after? The problem with that approach is that the Mishnah earlier, remember, said that truma is kosher for an Erev, even if you're not a Kohen, unless you're all of Sumchas. Sumchas said you can't use the truma. But why would we, and Rabbi Yossi specifically, would take a case that's not like Sumchas is weird, that's like Sumchas is weird, so... Because of that, Rashi offers another approach, and Tosva says for sure it's the other approach. The other approach is that we're using the word nidmu'u sort of loosely. So that even nidmu generally refers to truma falling into chulin. Over here, it means tevel, fell in. And because of that, we're not sure whether it's still kosher or whether it needs to be mitukah. Okay. But in any event, what we've done is switched around the case such that we initially do have a chazaka that it was good, and now something happened that made it not good. And basically, in both cases, Rabbi Yossi is saying, ha'amido al chazkato, and let us say that the Erev is kosher, as he said in the Mishnah. That's how we'll have to fix it up. Now, this is a fascinating question. Dig this. Bar Rav Shmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchak, Miravuna. Suppose you have definitely kosher food, okay? So you've got two kikarot. And one of them is tamei, meaning it's truma tamei, and one of them is truma tahora. So what you do is you put both of these down, okay? Now, you don't know which is which. So you figure, okay, fine, I don't know which is which, but we put both of them down and we say, okay, I'm making an Erev with the kosher kikar, wherever the heck it is. Okay, so you definitely put down a kosher kikar for an Erev. How do you like that? So can you use that as an Erev or not? That seems to be a fantastic question. So wherever it is, b'chomo kom shima, and that I'm asking, I don't care whose pshat you hold. I don't care if you hold Rabbi Meir's pshat. I don't care if you hold Rabbi Yossi's pshat, because the only thing that Rabbi Meir said was, if I don't have Torah, vadai, so I can't. And Rabbi Yossi says, if you do have Torah, vadai, then you can. But both of those things don't apply, because, I mean, over here I do have Torah, according to Rabbi Meir. And even Rabbi Yossi, he only said over there, the case, if it were Tahora, I knew which one it was. Marchenko, over here, I don't know what I can eat or what I can't eat. I mean, it's not the question. I don't know. I never knew which one I can eat or not. Ravuna said, no. This is not even a question. It's absolutely not a good Erev. Because there's another klal, which is called Su'udah Ru'uya Miba'od Yom. This, I have to be able to take food, just like I would in a normal Shabbos, that I prepare a Shabbos for myself. And I know the food that I'm preparing is for Shabbos. So because of that, if this is not a Su'udah Ru'uya, before the Chalos of the Erev, there needs to be a point in which this was food that I prepared for Shabbos. Over here it isn't. Can I eat it for Shabbos before the Erev? Can I eat it? Can I know that this is my food for Shabbos? No. You don't have anything to eat. And therefore, it doesn't fit that criterion. And this is not a Su'udah Ru'uya Miba'od Yom. Okay, so let us add that to the criteria for kosher Erev. Now, Rav had another question. It's also a fascinating question. These are like such insightful experimental questions. So here's Rav's question. Suppose a guy, he asks Rav Nachman, suppose a guy says, this kikar is currently chulin, okay? And I want it to remain chulin. But tomorrow on Shabbos, I'm making a neder now that it should be kodesh, but the kodesh should be chal on Shabbos. So now we have a fascinating thing. So we have something that at the time that I make the Eruv, it's okay, but I know now that it's not going to be okay when it is that I have to come to eat it on Shabbos, it's going to be Kodesh, and obviously, ain it ma'arvim bekodshim, for sure, because that is usur for anybody to eat. And what would be the halacha over there? Says Reb Nachman, the halacha over there would be Eruv Eruv. It's perfectly okay, because at the time that you made the Eruv, it was a kosher Eruv, and therefore, what's your problem? The fact that later on, that's a different issue. So Rava wants to like really get into it and make sure that he understands. How about if he said the other way around? How about if he said that I want the kikar today to be Kodesh, but at the time that Shabbos begins, it should be chulin. Okay, big machlokas we've shown him over here. Can you make a neder in which the Kodesh is limited to time? Or do we say once the Kodesh is chal, there's no way to get it off? And Rashi learns, once the Kodesh is chal, you would have to actually be poda it in order to take off the Kedusha. In which case, what the guy actually does is he sets aside money, and he says that this money will be the money on which the Kedusha will be chal on Shabbos. Okay, so what would be the din over there? So he said, Nachman said to him, basically the question over here is, what exactly does the guy mean when he says tonight or tomorrow or on Shabbos? Does he correlate his intent with the Erev? In other words, so do we say that it's chal at the earliest moment? If it's chal at the earliest moment, so then that would mean that it would be at the same exact minute that the Erev is chal in the earlier case, and then it wouldn't be good. Or does he mean that when it's definitely Shabbos, that means all the way after the Menach Marshals? And here, Reb Nachman said, no, then his Erev is not an Erev. Said Rava, I don't understand. So what's the difference between the two cases? I mean, the way I understand it, what you're saying is that we're going to assume that he means in both cases the same thing. I mean, I'm assuming he's not going to change from one to the other. So then how come you're giving me a contradiction? You're telling me the Erev was chal in one case, it isn't chal in the other case. Why is that? Says Reb Nachman, l'chitecho l'akur de milcha. You know, after you service me properly, you know, I've got a lot of salt that needs packaging. You go down to the basement, make 500 pounds of salt in 1 pound bags. Thank you. Come back when you're finished and I'll give you the answer. That's generally the approach Rashi takes. And sometimes Rashi says, oh man, you could load up 500 pounds of salt. You'd never, no matter how much salt you'd put on, you'd never make these two things the same because any idiot could see the difference, right? So the amount of salt is not going to make it any kind of better tasting. You're stupid, Svara. Okay, so they're two different approaches, but in any event, it's jocular. So the answer is very simple. If the guy says Hayom Chol, Ulamochar Kedush, the reason is because Misfekolo Nachtale Kedush. It's not that the guy had a clear case. An intent that was clearly defined. basically, if it's the fact that it was cold that we say we do not have a definition. And since we do not have a definition, the chalos will be only when it's 100% past the time in which the current chazaka defines its status. And only then do we say, okay, then now we know this is something that he wanted to do. Masha'in came in the other case, Misveika, where he had already made it the Kodesh before, its Kedusha is not going to pop off of it. So lo pokale Kedusha asemine. So therefore, even though you may have a suffix, right? We don't know, but it has a chazaka. And the chazaka, which means that it was usur because of the fact that it was Kodesh, tells you that you cannot use it. So in other words, Rava was assuming that the entire issue has to do with what do we mean in terms of the guy? What was he thinking in terms of his correlation to Erev? And Reb Nachman holds that there is nothing that he was thinking, because there's nothing that was defined in terms of what he was thinking. What we have is a straight-out suffik lahalacha about how it is that we interpret it. And so because of that, it's a general klal where you have a suffik, you go according to the chazaka. So in one case, the chazaka was Kadesh, and the Kedusha remains on until the time where we know it's Laila, and then it's too late to make an Erev. And in the other case, the Kashrus was on until such time as we know that it's definitely not kosher, that it's kosher. Tanhata. Now, we have further issues, again from Seder Tyrus, always from Seder Tyrus, that yesterday was Bikvos, today it's Tful Yom, before that it was Oyalais. Okay, so we've got Lagim, so we've got a pitcher, okay, and this pitcher is a Tful Yom. So it had been Tame, and we put it into a mikveh, and at the nighttime, it's going to become Tahor. Now, I fill it up with wine. And this wine was actually meiser that was given to me as a levi. And I haven't as yet taken off trumas meiser to give it to Barnea. And therefore, it is now teva. So the guy says, okay, I want the wine in this non-kosher pitcher, because remember, if it's going to be truma and it comes into contact with a tful yom, then it's not going to be usable because Tful Yom is actually going to pass or Truma. Currently, it's Meiser. Meiser is not going to be Nitma from a Tful Yom. This is a really cute case. So I have currently something that's usable for Meiser, but not usable for Truma. So what I know is that when the status of Tful Yom is over and it's nighttime, at that point, I could make a Truma. So I make a Truma now to be Chal at such time as when it comes dark. So I raise your Truma at Maaser, after dark. So that's fine. It takes place exactly when he said, Dvarav Kayamim. Now, how about if he said, now this is really cute, because now, if he says, I want you to make an Erev, he tells his shliach, obviously it's always where he says, because if he actually goes there, you don't need to leave anything there, because as we're going to see, if you're in the spot of your shvisa before Shabbos, your kind of shvisa there, the only reason you need an Erev is where you're sending the Erev with somebody. So if he says, okay, do me a favor, make me an Erev with this wine, so then it's useless. Says Rava, aho. If that's the case, and what you're saying is that the Sof Hayom is Kona Erev, this implies, now this is to say, this is a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is telling you that if the wine was still Tevel at the last minute of the day, so therefore it's not edible by anybody, not by Levi, not by Kohen, nobody's allowed to eat this, and it's only going to become kosher for Kohanim, which is fine for everybody, as the Mishnah said, so it's only going to become kosher after dark. So you see from here that the Erev is actually Kena not at the beginning of Shabbos, which would be the end of the Tzvein HaShemoshes. It would be Kena at the end of Friday, which means that it hasn't yet been defined as night. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying that the wine stays Tevel until the absolute beginning of Laila. And therefore, the Erev, which you needed to be Kena at the end of Friday, was still not a kosher Erev, because Isaac, if you're going to think it's the other way around, at the beginning, the first instant of Shabbos, that is to say, the very end of Ein HaShemoshes, that's the time when you're Kena the Erev, so then why is it a problem? The moment that it's Shabbos is the moment that this is kosher, because that would be the instant that the Ha'arev Shemesh would take place. And therefore, if he said Yivuli Bezeh, it ought to be perfectly kosher. Says Rav Papa, not necessarily. Even if you hold that it's the very beginning that is defining when the Erev is Chal, you're forgetting the criterion that we spoke about on Amud Aleph. Forget about when the Erev is Chal. You need to have a Seuda that was Re'uya Miba'od Yom. That's the point. And since Miba'od Yom, now over here, it's an even bigger Chiddush than it was before, because before I literally didn't have anything. And I never knew on Erev Shabbos that I had prepared myself a good Seuda. Over here, you do know that you prepared yourself a good Seuda. The only problem is you cannot taste the challah before Shabbos. That's the only problem. But when it comes to Shabbos, you know for sure you'll be able to eat. It doesn't help, because the reality is this is, in fact, not a kosher Eruv. Why? You needed to be able to actually taste the challah before Shabbos. That is to say, over here, you had to have a Seuda Haru'uya, and you do not have it. Now, Richie, come on in so you can see that I haven't walked off with the house. Does everything still look good?
It looks fine. Familiar.
Yes, indeed. As far as the papers are concerned, you know, which you've signed away ownership and things like that, that doesn't show up in the video. Okay.
Did I sign it before Shabbat, or did I tend to sign it?
Anyway. Go for it. So now we move on, as I said before in our introduction, we move on to examining a very important yesod in the Torah, which is called Breira, through the lens of Erevin, much as we've done many of the other issues. And over here, the question is, if you don't really know, at the time that you're making the Eruv, where you need that Eruv to be, can you create entangled worlds in which one Eruv would allow you to be walking to the east an additional 2,000 amot in one direction? The other Eruv would be allowing you to walk to the west 2,000 amot, but these two states are antithetical, because remember, and this is why Erevin is such a beautiful example of the nature of the entanglement of Breira, is because each one makes the other one impossible. That's the point. Because if you can go to the west, then you can't go to the east. And if you can go to the east, then you can't go to the west. So the question is, how is this Erev spinning, up or down, is basically the old question. And therefore, if you're going to decide that one of your measurements is down, then you know perfectly well that the other one is up. And therefore, if we can decide subsequently, then it would mean exactly as it means in terms of those sugyas, that when I measured it, this is what it always was. And because of that, we have Breira. This is actually how the issue of Einstein's spooky action at a distance takes place. Because basically, I'm not giving any new information. I'm simply saying that this is what was the world as it was meant to turn out. So as that measurement takes place on Erev to the east, I now know that Erev to the west is not going to restrict me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to go anywhere, because that would be Chamar Gamal. So if it was just a plain old suffix in terms of classical Erevin, then I wouldn't be able to move. But it's only in terms of quantum Erevin that I would be able to utilize an Erev that could be here or could be there. Beautiful setup. No, come on, guys. Okay. So therefore, says the Tanna Kamma, Matne Adam Alei Ruvo. So a guy can make a t'nai, and he can say, well, it depends where the tax collectors are coming. So I don't rightly know right now, but there's rumors that the tax collectors are going to be showing up, and I want to be out of town when they come. So if the Nochrim come from the east, then I want to use the Erev that I placed on the west, and that shall be my Erev, obviously, from Erev Shabbos. You can't make an Erev on Shabbos. So that would mean retroactively, when that happens, it was the Erev to the west that is the Erev. If they come from the west, then my Erev should be the one in the east. And if they come from both directions, then I need to be able to make a determination on Shabbos, which is basically a quantum measurement, of which ones appear to be more dangerous, and I want to go the other way. So I can do that on Shabbos. What's the din? L'mokom sheretza eleif? I can do that. Matna damalei ruvo. Amazing. So he leaves it basically in a state of suspension. And he furthermore says, and if it turns out that they don't show up at all, and I don't want any limitations. I cancel both of the Erevin, and I should just be like everybody else in town to be able to make 2,000 amas in each direction, if I wish. Okay, or there's another case. If a Talmud Chacham, I want to go to Shir, and I don't know whether the Shir is going to be taking place in the town to the east of my city, which is, and it's outside of the Tchum by 2,000 amas, or if it's taking place in the town to the west of the city. So when I find out on Shabbos and people come and they tell me that, yes, it's to the east, then that's the way I want to go. And that cancels the one to the west and vice versa. And if it turns out that a Chacham comes to both places, I want to think over which show I want to go to on Shabbos. Do I want to go to the Pirkei Avos show, or do I want to go to the Daf Yomi show? I'll decide that on Shabbos. L'makom she'etzei lech, I could choose either one. If it turns out that nobody shows up to give shir, then I just want to be like everybody else. Okay, sounds like the same exact case, exactly what it is that it's introducing. We'll see in a moment. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, well, now wait a minute. In that case, if one of them was his Rebbe, so then we have to assume that his das was that he's going to go to his Rebbe. And if both of them were his Rabbeim, and the Kiddush over here has said, Rishonim, even if one of them was Rabbo Muvhak, and the other one was just someone that he was interested in hearing a shir from, then he can go to either one. And the Gemara is going to ask, I mean, don't the Chachomim agree that obviously he would want to go to his Rebbe shir? So we'll see. Ki ata Rabbi Yitzchak tani ibcha kula matznesin. Strangely, Rabbi Yitzchak had an exactly opposite way of reading the Mishnah. So he was saying that if the goyim come to the east, then I want to go to the east. If they come to the west, then I want to go to the west. So in other words, I'm going towards the goyim. And in the case of if the chacham comes, if the shir is taking place in the east, get me out of here. I'm going to the west. And if it's in the west, get me out of here. I want to go to the east. So weird. So anyway, but we've got two different cases. I mean, which one is it? Kasha nochrim anochrim, kasha chacham achacham. Answers the Gemara. It's not a contradiction because there's two different things. One of them is a parhagbana, which is the par is the Persian word for the sar of gavna, meaning that he's collecting. He's a collector, a gabai. So I want to get the heck out of here because he's the tax collector. And the other one is talking about the mayor or the ones, the county officials, in which I may want to talk to them because I got to tell them that, you know, I need a zoning relaxation or whatever. So over there, I need to talk to these people. And that's the Mori D'Mata. And the Chochem HaChochem is also not a problem because one of them is talking about a Mosif Pirkei. One is talking about somebody who is a Talmud Chochem and he's going to sit people down to give them a shiurim. The other one was talking about a Makri Shema. The other one was a guy who was teaching kids how to say Kriyat Shema. So basically, that was like the standard rabbi who his shir consists of talking about Kriyat Shema for the 400th time. And you definitely don't want to go to that shul. So you say, I want my Erev to be in the opposite direction. And there's also a pshat that the Makri Shema may also have a bill for you and remind you that you haven't paid your tuition for the past half a year, so you want to go the other direction. Neither of those pshatim is Rashi's. Rashi's pshat is that it doesn't mean that I'm going to go to one or the other and that he's running away from one or the other. It's that he's saying you have a choice if one of them, I don't know which one is going to be which, so the one that is the giving the shear, of course, that's where I want to go. But the place, if I find out that in that shul there's a Makri Shema, which I'm not interested in, so I want to go the other direction, which is where the one will be. So according to Rashi, it's not like literally the opposite case, is that there's one who is a Makri Shema, one who is a Talmud Chacham. But if both of them are Makri Shema, both of them are Chacham, then we're left to the way that the Mishnah said it. Anyway,
this is not the case by Gabbai Tzedakah. If somebody's coming for Rav Kaplan's fund, you run because you want to give him Tzedakah, and the person that doesn't have a tainus can pay it with Tzedakah. Mom, it's the opposite. I'm just pointing out.
Yes, that's very true. Maybe we should point it out again, just to make sure everybody heard. Yes, please remember Rav Kaplan's Tzedakah Fund. Rosh Hashanah is coming up, and Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavet. All you need to do is write me, and I shall lay it out. So, I was just wondering whether... All right, I don't want to interrupt. Okay. Now, we've got a problem. And our problem is that over here it says that Rebbe Yehuda says that if one of them is your Rebbe, you want to go to your Rebbe, and that's assumed. I understand. Don't the Rabbanan agree to that? Says Gemara, no, actually not. There are times when you would rather go to your Chavrusa than go to hear a shir. So maybe that's what it's talking about. You have a chance to go to your friends. Lots of times people would rather hear what it is that their wonderful Chavirim have to say about the sugya rather than to hear what their Rebbe has to say about the sugya. And so because of that, they would rather attend the Friday Chumash, which is only ostensibly to hear what the Chavirim say, because usually the Rebbe takes over and kills it all. But theoretically speaking, you would want to go to where your Chavirim are talking. Okay. Omar Rav, this Mishnah is wrong. It doesn't make any sense, because this Mishnah is assuming that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you can be semich on the Erev, even though it was dependent on Brera. The only thing that Rabbi Yehuda mentions that's different than the Chachamim is whether for sure you'd rather go to listen to your Rebbe. That's the only thing. But that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda buys into Brera. And we know from the Braita, the famous Braita, that Ayo is the name of a Talmud Chacham, Ayo's Braita tells us the opposite, that Rabbi Yehuda says specifically about this case, you can't not have a state of superpositions of Eruvi. And Ein Adam Masna al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. You can't do that. All you can say is that if the Chacham comes to the east, I want to go to the east. If the Chacham comes to the west, I want to go to the west. But you cannot say that I can make a determination later and have that determination affect the status of the Erev before. Says, come on, that doesn't make any sense. Because, I mean, both of those cases are superposition states. What's the difference whether the superposition has to do with your apparently arbitrary determination of where you want to go, or something that's dependent on an event that's going to be happening in the world, namely that the Chacham is going to come to X or going to come to Y. If you believe the Chacham's coming to Y is something that is able to define the past, and it means he was going to come to Y, so then why don't you believe that your determination is exactly the same thing? I was going to determine this decision. So I don't understand the difference. Mashallah lekan olkan. You said you can't have it in a state of superposition. Why? Because ain breira. That's basically what you're saying. Breira does not effectively determine things la halacha. So what's the difference if it's the mizrach or the ma'arav? That's also breira. You're saying the chacham will decide where to go. And where he decides to go, that's going to be the definition of the Erev. Why? If ain breira. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you misunderstood Ayo. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda was saying something beautiful. He wants you to understand the difference between superposition and lack of knowledge. Those are two different things. The idea of superposition is that you cannot have the knowledge. Well, the case that he's talking about is you could have the knowledge, but you don't. So what happened is that Kfar Bar Chacham, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda was saying, if the Chacham had arrived in the East. Now, I'm only going to find out about that tomorrow. Well, we don't care when you find out. We only care about the Erev being dependent on something that was extant at that time. You don't have to be the one who takes the measurement. The universe took the measurement. The Chacham came. That's all. So then when you find out, you now know where your Erev is. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is you don't need to know where your Erev is, but it definitely needs to be knowable where your Erev is. You cannot have a state of superposition. That's all that he's saying. So he's bringing that out beautifully by bringing the same language, which we can now understand as Kfar Bar Chacham, but obviously if it needs to be determined by you after, oh, so you don't know the Brera, now the whole thing fits in beautifully. Isn't that lovely? Except, of course, for the problem that why in the world are we Docha a Mishnah because we have a Braita of Ayo? Last I heard, we usually look to the Mishnah as being the definitive way of understanding a sukkah, and if a Braita contradicts the Mishnah, we throw out the Braita, and we say, look, this Braita is obviously not a reliable Braita. So Adarabba, let the Ayo be Matznisen. I mean, we should throw out Ayo, not throw out the question of our Mishnah.